family. Pastor Scott.
All right, Ed, thank you. All right. So thanks to the prayer. Thanks, praise team. Awesome. We're one church. What a friend we have in Jesus. Amen. We can pray together. We can rest in him. We can trust in him. And you know, some of you weren't here for when Michael said, hey, go shake a hand. And Brian said, holy kiss. I don't know if that happened, but that's really true, that we're a community, we're a family, and we've been talking about that in the book of Acts. We've been going through the book of Acts. The first church that was set up in the New Testament in the Bible, they are a family. They love each other, and they're trusting in Jesus. It's all about Jesus, and they're all for him. And man, they're one together, and that's been the beauty of Acts. And so, yeah, I mean, thanks, guys, for leading us in worship. What a friend we have in Jesus, And you know, just the first song we sang, we are your church. We are your family, right? We're the family. These are your brothers and sisters in Christ. And we're closer than flesh and blood. It's because the Spirit of Christ unites us. And so that's a good thing. And so, man, amen. Man, it's already July, right? It's already July. So I heard Daniel was working on a Jenga set. Is it completed outside? I haven't seen it yet. We'll see if it's out there. We'll go play. But since I said that, July 4th, English side and anybody else, Chinese side's invited. July 4th, Wednesday at Mullins Park, 6 to 10, 6 to 9, actually, fireworks start at 9. Come on out. We're going to go celebrate together, have fun. We're going to pass out water to people there and just show the love of Jesus. So come on out. And July is a good month, and we want to show the love of Jesus to our community. And so my birthday is in July, so it's a really good month. And I think Eric's birthday is in July, I think. Eric, your birthday in July? Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, it's a really good month. I won't say anything. He doesn't want people to know. But it's a really good month, so we're going to go out July 4th. Come join us, Mullins Park right over there, and we'll show the love of Jesus. But let us be a family together, showing the love of Christ. Now, thanks, Eric. Eric actually preached in Acts, a later chapter in Acts, in my series on Eutychus, the dude who fell out the window, right, last week. And that was an interesting story. But thanks, Eric, for preaching to us. And I'm going to take a couple weeks break here. And what we're trying to do is, each quarter, July is actually sort of the beginning of the third quarter. Each quarter, we're trying to go back to our theme. Let's pray, right? That's our theme. We just sang about that, taking everything to God in prayer. We just sang about praying to God. And so we're going to talk about prayer again. Now, each quarter, I want to do a little aspect of prayer. What part of prayer are we looking at? And actually, it's very related to our series in Acts, the first church being a real family together, a close family, brothers and sisters together. This aspect of prayer we're going to look at the next 2 weeks is praying as a community, praying as a family, praying as one. We're actually one in Christ. And so we're going to focus on that these next couple weeks. We're going to focus on, hey, we got to pray together as a family. And prayer draws us together as a family of Christ. And so this has much to do with Acts. Even next week, I think I'm just going to pick up Acts again where I am because it's very related to this. And so we're going to talk about prayer as a family. Now, I'm going to talk a bit about prayer today, but I really want to set up the foundation is, do we realize that we really are one together? We are one family. Doesn't mean you have to give a holy kiss to prove that, right? But it means we are one family, brothers and sisters in Christ. Katie, I see you going for it. You're trying to sneak a holy kiss on Vanessa there. So, yeah, you guys are sisters, I can tell. I can tell. Sisters who love each other, right? But we're tight-knit. We should be tight-knit. And the fact, if we're not, that says more about our own selfishness than what God has done. And so we're going to see that, man, God himself has established us, the church, as one with him, one with each other. And if we don't sense that oneness, then that's our problem. That's not God's problem. And so we have to get that foundation on solidly underneath our feet. So the first point, let's look up today. God is one with himself. Where's this whole idea of a community being one together? Well, did you realize that God is a community, right? God is not just one person. He's three persons. And this is the mystery of the Trinity, right? This is that strange, you know, what is that mystery? Sometimes we talk about the youth and adults. So hard for us to understand it, but we know that God presents himself this way as three persons, yet one God. We call it three persons of the Godhead. God himself is sort of a family unto himself. And so God models this oneness for us. And so the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the three persons of the Trinity, they do everything in unison and everything in love for each other. And they're always in perfect harmony with each other. And so he himself is the model for us. He himself, you know, a lot of times, you know, when I was younger, I skipped this. I just said, you know, God wants to be one with us, which is true. But that's secondary to God being one with himself. He, you know, like it wasn't like God was bored up in heaven before he made humanity, right? He had the Father, Son, Spirit. I mean, he had a perfect community, but he still decided to create us, and he loves us. So, yeah, so God is one with himself. God's a trinity. God's, in a sense, a community, and they perfectly love each other. Look at this, John chapter 14. The Gospel of John is one of the best books for this, John 14, 10 through 11. Do you not believe, Jesus says, that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. So he's telling the people, hey, look, the Father and I are one. They're distinct, right? Jesus is both God. Jesus is God. God the Father is God. But they're one. And it's a crazy mystery, but we know that's true. And Jesus tells people, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He's one. He's one with his Father. Look at John 17, 1. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. There's this perfect harmony where God the Father glorifies his Son. And obviously, going to the cross, right? The cross of Jesus and the cross of Christ. He shows his salvation through his Son. And Jesus becomes king as he dies and resurrects. He becomes the almighty king. So God the Father glorifies his Son, and the Son glorifies the Father. It's this perfect reciprocation, all right? So our salvation is a Trinitarian work. When we say, hey, guys, we're separated. We are separated from God by our sins, from a holy God, my lust, my anger. And Jesus still loved people that he wanted to save and make us a family, so he sent Jesus to go and come down to earth and die on a cross and take my sins upon himself and then raise from the dead that I may be saved. Jesus said, I died in your place, Scott. We sang about that. We sang about Jesus being in our place on the cross, the death I deserve. Jesus took it for me, and then he conquered death and granting forgiveness and eternal life to anyone who believes in Jesus as his Lord and as our Lord and Savior. And so Jesus himself shows us this way to the Father. And so our salvation is a Trinitarian work. And so when we say, hey, there's a hope for you, there's a hope beyond death, there's a hope beyond life, it's Jesus Christ. And when you believe, and a lot of you believe in this room, you've bowed your knee to Jesus and say, I need Jesus Christ. That was the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity working in your heart. And so you see, our salvation is a Trinitarian work. God the Father loved us so much that he sent his Son, who willingly obeyed the Father and died on the cross for my sins. And then when we teach the gospel, when we tell others the good news of Jesus, that, hey, man, there's suffering in this world. There's a lot of bad things going on, a lot of heartache, and a lot of sin. When we tell people that there's a hope for this and tell them about Jesus, that Jesus made a way out of death and out of our own destruction, that's the Holy Spirit working in people's hearts to help them believe. That's a Trinitarian work. The Father, the Son, the Spirit applies that salvation to us, to all who believe. And so they're always working in 100% union, all right? Interesting fact, right? We're talking about prayer, right? That's our theme. Let's pray. The interesting thing, again, about this is Jesus, although is God, he always is praying to the Father. He prays with the disciples. He prays by himself. He gets on mountaintops by himself and prays. He's always praying. And the cool thing about Jesus is that he's never praying out of God's will. You know, sometimes we pray for stuff, you know, like, I got to give me a giant Dunkin' Donut today, you know, like, and it's maybe not God's will for us, right? I was at Dunkin' Donuts yesterday, but I resisted. I got a culotta. I chilled out, so I was working on my sermon. Culotta, right? But we don't always pray things according to God's will, but Jesus always did. But yet he showed this reliance on his Father, and he was always in perfect harmony with God's will. That's why it's good for us to continue to know Scripture, is that we understand God's will so we can pray better. But Jesus himself was always in unison with the Father's will, and he prayed for us. God, this is a wonderful thing about God. He's a diversity of people, yet he's one. Isn't that the template for the church? We are a diversity of people. Most of us are Asian. I've been converted. So some of us, you know, forget the ethnicity, just the fact that we have different gifts, skills, abilities. We come from different walks of life, you know. Michael was just talking about his grandma was from Hong Kong, some are from Taiwan, some are from mainland China, some didn't come from China at all, some other places, right? So we have this diversity of backgrounds, ethnicities, and skills and gifts, yet in the church, the one place in the world where totally different people can be one is the church of Jesus Christ, because we all have one Savior, one God, one focus. And we need to model that to the world. And I'll get more into that. But it starts with our God, who is a Trinity. They're different than each other, Father, Son, Spirit. Yet they're always working in unison. They're always working in love. And that should be the template. God himself, his person, is the template for us. So we got to get that. So number one, the first point there is, how do we get this concept we are actually one people? We're literally one. It's because God himself is one. All right, so secondly, not only is God one with himself, God is one with us. God is, he indwells us. And many of you know this, right? Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 9. Paul says this, "You, however, church, you're not in the flesh, no longer sinners, lost, but you are in the Spirit because of your belief in Jesus. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you," dwells in you. "Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him." So how do you have the Spirit of Christ? Do you believe that Jesus is the one and only Savior for your life, for your sins, to give you true life and true joy and forgiveness of all sins and cancel that debt on the cross? You have the Spirit of God. And so all of us who believe have the Spirit of God. It's amazing. It's not different spirits. It's one Spirit who is able to dwell inside of us. Guys, you just have to stop and think. How often do we ponder that? God himself, this glorious God, holds the universe in his hand, is actually dwelling in my soul. Man, I don't want to ever sin again, right? I don't want to yell at my wife. I don't want to be lazy. I don't want to lust. I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit inside of me. God's inside of me. He's taking up residence, right? I am now the temple of the Holy Spirit. I am God's temple. Look at 1 Corinthians 6:19. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says this, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You're not your own." God is one with us. He's literally one with our heart. And it's a mystery. Just like I don't quite understand the Trinity. I know what it is. I can tell you what it is, but I don't quite understand how it works. God is literally inside me, in my heart, in my soul. And he's working in me to make me more like Christ. As I strive to be more like Christ, it's this wonderful working together. And he's literally, right? So if in the Old Testament, if you went into the actual literal building, the temple, you strutted in there and you weren't authorized to do that, you weren't a priest, God would literally strike you dead. And now that presence that was in the temple is now one in me and in you. I mean, God gives me the shakes, right? But it doesn't, because I know God loves me, and I'm okay to be the temple because God's forgiven all my sin. He sees me as holy because Christ has given me his holiness. It's wonderful. That doesn't give me an excuse to sin. I don't want to sin. I hate sin. Thank the Lord that he forgives. But man, I am the temple. God is one with me. I am the temple of God. Man, I am. And church, we together, all of us who believe, God is taking residence with us. You realize right now, for all who believe in here, God is, his very being is present. He's in our hearts. He's in our souls. He's here in this room. He's listening. He knows everything we say. He's moving in our hearts to make us more like Christ. Maybe you have thoughts coming up right now. They're coming up in your brain that you're like, oh, bad, sinful thoughts, a little bit of lust, a little bit of hate, and like the Holy Spirit trying to help you beat those things back down. Might be happening right now, right? And so God is absolutely right here. His presence that was so holy that he can just knock people flat on their back is with us now. Pretty awesome, right? But he loves it. He delights in us. He loves to be one with us. He loves. See, this is why we shouldn't live in guilt and shame. Yes, we still sin, but God's forgiven us past, present, future sins. And he delights it. He's already forgiven us. And he loves being in us. Even though we know, I'm like, God, I'm not worthy. We just sang about that. You are worthy. You know, some of you maybe this morning were singing that song and are like, man, it's hard for me to sing. I don't feel worthy. But the fact of the matter is, if you believe in Christ, you've been forgiven of all sins. And if you have sins you're holding on to, well, then repent, confess, and say, Lord, I want to be holy like you are. I know I'm not, but please forgive me, and I want to follow you. It's this wonderful thing that God wants to be one with us. And with that, I want my heart, and see, this will relate to the church together. I want my life to always be in sync, right, with God's will and God's heart, because he's living in me. You know, like some of you might, you know, like on a computer, right? You have maybe Google Drive, you save something on your computer, right? And you see that little ball rolling around, sinking. You know, the arrows are going, it's sinking. I always want to be, my heart is always wanting to be sinking with God, right? Like, Lord, am I sinking with you? Am I walking in your word? Am I walking in your will? Am I walking in the ways of Scripture? I always want to be pushing the sink button. I want to sink with him because he's in me, and I want to be walking in unison with him. I want to be, and he's one, and he'll help us. The wonderful thing is he helps us do that. He helps us do that. Jesus is the vine. We are the branches. Again, that picture of oneness, right? He's that tree, and we are the branches coming out. And so we're all connected. We're all, you know, we all got that sap flowing, the vitamins, and we're one with Jesus. And there's so many illustrations of this in the scripture, right? Jesus is married to us, right? We call marriage a one-flesh union. Jesus is married to us. He's the groom. The church is the bride. There's another illustration. We are one with Christ. He will never leave us nor forsake us. We see so many bad marriages. But Jesus himself will never, ever leave us. I mean, we sin every day, but he will never leave us. Praise the Lord. He's always loving us, and he's always with us. Look at Romans 8:26. Romans 8:26, look what the Spirit does for us. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We know we're weak, for we do not know what to pray. We don't even know what to pray sometimes, as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. The Holy Spirit, God himself, is actually praying on our behalf. He's lifting up our requests and what we need to God. Sometimes, you know, I'm like, I don't even know. I want to pray in God's will. I don't even know how to pray about this situation. Lord, just hear the Holy Spirit praying for me, right? And he does. That's encouraging, right? Anybody been kind of stuck in prayer? It's not that you don't want to pray. You're trying to pray, but you're like, I don't know how to pray for this. I don't know what to do. Lord, I give it to you. The Holy Spirit is God himself, is interceding for us, praying. He's one with us. God wants us to have joy in this oneness. Look at John 15, verses 9 through 11. Look what Jesus says for us. In this sense of oneness, he wants us to have joy in him. That's the ultimate goal. As the Father has loved me, so I've loved you, church. Abide, be one in my love, in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. That's beautiful, right? I've spoken these things that you may have true joy, that you abide in me. And by abiding in Christ is obeying his commands, which are not burdensome, which are the most loving thing we can do and the most joyful thing we can do. When we abide in Christ and do this, our joy may be full. You see, abiding in Jesus means we have real life. We have true life. We have joy in life. We follow Christ. We seek him together. And we have joy. I like to have a little bit of joy, right? A little bit of joy all the time, right? And the adult English Sunday school class has been watching Matt Chandler's series on the Apostles' Creed. And something Matt says over and over is, in the way he breaks it down, is a difference between superficial happiness and then a deep eternal joy that we can possess even when things are tough. And my joy is because I'm abiding in Christ. I know him as my Savior. I'm following him. No matter what happens, what tough things happen, I can still have eternal joy. Our satisfaction in God, our rest in him. And that comes from abiding in Christ, being one with him. Number three, third point, we are one with each other. We're one with each other. So God is one with himself. God is one with us individually. And then we as a group, we can be one with each other in Christ. This oneness. The cool thing is, guys, we all together are spiritually caught up into the love of the Trinity. And what do I mean by that? Well, let's look at John 17 again. John 17, verse 22 through 23. Catch what Jesus is saying. We get drawn up into the love the Trinity has for itself. The glory, Jesus says, that you have given me, Father, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. So Jesus is praying, go back to that slide, Jesus is praying that God, just like we are one, the Trinity, I want the church to be one just like we are, which is amazing. God wants the church to model the Trinity, to be completely harmonious, to be syncing our minds together, all focused on Christ and God's glory. So, verse 22, the glory, Jesus says, that you have given me, I have given to the church, them, that they may be one even as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be perfectly one, so that the world, here's the result of this, the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you love me. And I love this. Our oneness has a missional aspect about it. It's wonderful when the world sees a church that's just fighting each other, gossiping, slandering, splitting the church over the color of the floor. I don't like this mustard color. I'm going to leave the church, you know. People do that. And then it's like, you know, the world's like, well, I don't want to be part of that church, you know. Why would I want to, you know, these people can't even get along about small things. And Jesus is saying, hey, really what he's saying, the primacy is you got to focus on Christ, the things that matter, focusing into him and loving each other like Christ loves the Father and the Father loves the Spirit and vice versa. We have to love like the Trinity loves each other. And that is a harmonious love. That is a wonderful love. So that when people see the church, they're like, man, there's something different about this church. They care for each other. They love each other. They lay their lives down for each other. They're not into petty rivalries. They are one with each other. And so there's a missional aspect there. The world may know that you sent me and love them even as you loved me. There's this beautiful love. I'm going to come back to that point. That's important. Look at this. Ed read this verse earlier. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. Look at this. Look at what he says about one. There is one body, the church, one body of Christ. There's one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. Verse 5. One Lord, there's one faith, there's one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. There's just one all over the place. I love how Ed prayed in his prayer. He was praying for the Christians who are like in Syria and in China who are being persecuted. We are one family with them, even though we're not in this local congregation. We are one family with those who are suffering under Assad's chemical warfare right now. When they suffer, we suffer, because we're one family and we love them. We were united to them. And how often do we think of that? But we're all serving one God. The same God that hears Shang's prayer right now is the same God that's hearing those across the world. The same God, the same faith. Guys, we are truly one. That's what God himself unites us. So we all need to be striving to say as a church, we should all desire to know God, his glory, to do our best to understand Scripture together. And man, we'll be one. And the whole worldwide church is one body, one Spirit. There's not different spirits. There's not different gods. We're publicly focused on one person. Yeah, that's what in our baptism class, our baptism membership class, one of the things that we don't talk about a lot after the doctrines, right? We go through all the doctrines. Who's been in my baptism class? A few of you, right? You suffered through it. Oh, all right, good. All right, good. No, you loved it. I know. All right, so we went through all the doctrines, which are good, wonderful. We all got the doctrines. We go through our bylaws, the history of the Southern Baptist, all that stuff. One thing that's so important at the end of the doctrines is this church covenant that says, if I become a member of the church, I'm going to promise to love this church in various ways, right?
with serving, with my resources, with evangelizing. But that really is what we're doing. We are one body, and we are pledging to covenant. It's like marriage, right? I'm making a covenant promise to love this one body, this local manifestation of God's church. This is where we come together. That, don't overlook that church covenant in that baptism class. That's not just a formal, yeah, just read through this paper. This is, I promise, when I become a member, when I become baptized, I'm publicly telling the church, I identify with you, I'm one with you, you're one with me, you're going to keep me accountable to my faith, I'm going to keep you accountable to your faith. We are one. We are one together in Christ. And we're going to love each other, we're going to confess our sins to each other, we're going to bear with each other in love and patience. That is the oneness of the church. And we should take that seriously. We should never let little squabbles and controversies fester in the church. You know, sometimes we have to rebuke in love to stop sin from happening. And so we have to do this. I'm going to get more into the practical next week, but let's look at what Paul says right before this verse on oneness. This is how you practically walk it out. Paul says, I therefore, prisoner for the Lord, urge you, church, to walk in a manner worthy of the calling, the one calling to which you have been called. And look at the descriptors here, with all humility. Is our church characterized by humility? And I'm not going to let my pride, what I want all the time, go. I'm going to love others and listen to others. And we're going to be humble before the text of God, the scripture. Humility and gentleness. Or am I known to have a caustic spirit? I'm always fighting for stuff. It might be good things, but I've always had this fighting spirit. We have to be careful about that. Humility and gentleness with patience. Some of us need a heavy dose of patience, right? I do. I need to drink my patience potion sometime. Patience. I'm at Fuge. Patience. Need some patience. God, give me patience. We all know that, right? All the counselors know that. With patience. We bear with one another in love. And see, this is how we know we're sinners, we know we're weak, but we bear with one another in love. I'm here to help you. I'm here to lift you up. I'm here to care for you and put my arms around you. I'm here to love you guys in Christ, to build you up, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in love and the bond of peace. This is what Jesus is calling us to do, right? This is what God is calling us to do. This is some of the practical here. Eager to maintain the unity. Here's the thing. Are we eager to maintain unity? Or do I have to step on my rights? I'm like, I'm gonna stay on my rights because I'm a follower of God. And I don't care what they think. I don't care what they think. I'm just going to, you know. I try to have my own ideas. But sometimes some people come to me and say, have you thought about this? I'm like, that's really good. That's what the church is for. We have different gifts. We have different abilities. We have different ways to handle certain things, and we can come together as a group and have a good consensus in Christ. And that's what God's called us to do. How many of us can say, I'm eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit? Man, that's a work of God, and so we are one. I saw a really good quote. I have a friend, my roommate in seminary. He's now a missionary in India. He married an Indian girl, and he's just all Indian now. He's a good guy. But I saw a quote on his Facebook. It's from Tim Keller. I saw it this week, and I was like, man, this just fits in right with my sermon. Tim Keller, famous pastor in New York City, he says this. When we get together in relationship to be one with each other, right? When we get to be one with each other, our friendships, our love for each other in church, he says this. For the record, he says, it stands to say that if each friend says to the other, I will treat my selfishness as the main problem in this relationship, you also have the prospect for great things. You know, if we all started our friendship this way, I'll just let you know, my selfishness is the problem that will rear its head in this friendship. And then the other person says it to you. We're like, okay, we got that cleared. We're on the same page now. We all know that our selfishness, our sin gets in the way. And so we have to say, Lord, I don't want that. I want to build a relationship with this person. My selfishness will get in the way, and I got to pull that back, right? But we all have to admit that. My selfishness will cause problems. Your selfishness will cause problems. And as the church of Christ, we got to kill that together. We got to be in harmony just as the Trinity is in harmony. You know, the eye the I gets in the way of the we, right? You know, how many times you go home in the week, you're like, my church didn't do this, my church didn't do this. Oh, I got to tell my people a few things. You know, maybe it's in the ride home from Sunday church, right? Like after you have your lunch, like, can you believe those people? Okay, but the thing is, don't be negative, be constructive. How can I help this church as a whole to really see Christ? The point is, our oneness is already a reality. Jesus makes us one. The question is, what do we do about it? That's already true about us, because God's united us in the Spirit already. The question is, how do we build on what's already true? That's what we have to ask ourselves, the oneness. I mean, look at society. Look at our society right now, you know. Our society is like being pulled apart at the seams. You see all, especially the social media, you see all this rage, you know, like how often can I be mad about something every day on Twitter? It's just like people are so caustic to each other. You know, here's the thing. Our society as a whole, a secular society, is not, they want oneness, but it's really not a oneness of like, I'm one in heart and soul with Jesus. People don't want that without Christ. They actually want oneness, like W-O-N. I won this argument, right? I won this. I'm going to tell that guy what I think of him. And it's a wrong kind of oneness. And, you know, I saw a great article this week on the New York Times. There is no civility anymore in our society. You look around, right? And our politicians don't model it, you know? Our politicians on either side of the aisle do not model a civility or a humility or a love for each other. We don't see it. We see disunity everywhere. Our marriages are suffering. People don't even get married anymore. Marriage, you know, which should point to Christ, even in churches, sometimes marriages look bad. We're not pointing to Christ, that union that Jesus brings. And so our society is, everyone's doing right in their own eyes. It's selfishness. It's sin, and that's what sin is. It's I want to do what I want to do, and I don't care about anybody else. That ultimately is sin, and that's the outworking of it in our lives, and it causes all kinds of problems. It happens in our families. It happens in, and listen, as Christians, we wrestle with it, you know? Every day, right? I have to wrestle with it. I got to love my family. Sometimes it's harder than others. I have to keep that sin in check, right? And my wife will, you know, help me keep that sin in check, right? Like, we gotta be one together, all right? We gotta, you know, we help each other. And but that's the, God's working in us. God's working in us. To will and to work is good pleasure as we work out our salvation. You see, the world is going after all these things on their own. Isms, right? You know, like, you know, communism or wokeism, right? That's a new term, right? All this stuff. And without Jesus, it's just all this, everybody's shooting out in all these other ways to try to find meaning and fulfillment. People want all this stuff. And we, the church, are saying, there's one God, and we're all pursuing him together. We're all pursuing him together. Right? And we are going to humbly serve him, and we're going to speak into society that there's a hope in Christ. And yeah, sure, that can touch on social justice issues. That's absolutely part of it, that's our love of Christ spills over into society and what we do, but we all are one. And so secondary things like race, ethnicity, political views on certain things, and where we've come from, backgrounds, those are all completely secondary. Jesus Christ has made us one, and that's what every tribe, tongue, and nation. Think of heaven, right? Think of heaven. Heaven will be the most diverse, awesome place on earth, yet the most unified on earth. New heavens and earth, right? Heaven will be the one place when we're all together, the new heavens and earth. It'll be the most diverse place, and yet it'll be the most unified place. Every tribe, tongue, and nation worshiping God, God alone. You are worthy. Man, isn't that what Acts, we were talking about speaking in tongues, every single language is heard? That's the reality. So we should pray on earth as it is in heaven. The heavenly reality is, we're unified, even though we're diverse, you know? You know? I was walking, who's Jamaican? You're Jamaican, right? I was walking yesterday, I was reading my sermon. I took a walk at this plaza, and I went outside. It was a Caribbean restaurant, right? Caribbean cuisine, right? And I was like, oh, that's like interesting. And everybody's Jamaican in there. And I was like, I gotta try that. I gotta check this. I already ate, so I didn't go in. But then they were playing Christian music out of the speakers. I'm like, that's awesome. Like, they don't have the same skin color I do. But man, maybe the owners of this restaurant are Christian. They're blasting Christian music. And I was like, man, maybe I'll see those people in heaven, you know? They're Jamaican. I'm Caucasian, right? You're Chinese. But we're going to be singing the same songs in heaven, right? We're going to have the same God and can really truly bring us together, right? We are one in Christ. And so, man, it's just this beautiful picture, right? So, again, I'll more practical next week, more practical in prayer. But let me say this to end this. It's really hard to hate someone or hold feelings against somebody if we know we're one with them and we're praying for their good. You know, if I'm like, oh, I got a problem with this person. If I'm like, Lord, help this person know Christ, love Christ, help me love them, encourage us both together. I can't hold on to grudges very long. I can't hold on to bitterness very long. Because if I'm really on my knees for somebody and all of you, then I can't hold on to anything because I want God's best for all of us. And so when we pray for each other, really, do you take time during this week? I don't want to see a show of hands, but have any of us prayed for our fellow church members during this week? Have I thought of people during this week? I'll pray, bless them here, Lord. Bless our group, bless our YAF, work in these hearts. Have we done it this week, right? Whether in a community or whether alone. And so that is showing this love and this oneness for each other. And we'll get more into that next week. But guys, we are truly one in Christ. He's the model for us, the Trinity. And then we show that to others. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we are thank you that we're one in you. And we can take everything to you in prayer. You listen to us. You love us. You're indwelling us. Wow, what an awesome fact, Lord, that you're delighting in us. It's like you're jumping for joy because you've saved us. And we're all that. We are all the lost sheep you've brought into your family. And you wanted to be one with us, God. We thank you for that. And Lord, help us as a church really love each other like the Trinity loves each other, Lord, that we would really lay our lives down for each other and pray for each other. God, it certainly starts there. I'm going to pray for everyone in this church, Lord. And God, may we be a witness to the world what it is to be truly one, yet diverse, Lord. It's amazing, Lord, that you brought people who would never normally hang out in real life together into the church, and we can truly love and be friends with each other, God. Bring us closer to yourself today. In your son's name we pray. Amen.